is there anything else you want to ask me?
Lots. Sit down, Professor. Yes. There are many, many things I want to ask you. Yes. So many things.
Well, anything you want to know, I'd only be too happy to oblige.
Thank you. So they call me Concentration Camp Erhard. You know, Professor, there's something I wanted to ask you.
Yes?
What? Oh. Well, that's the way it is. A thousand questions on your mind, yet you can't think of anything to ask. But it will crystallize. It will crystallize. Maybe there's something you'd like to ask me.
No, no, I can't think of anything, Colonel.
Oh. So they call me Concentration Camp Erhard. Well, well. Excuse me a minute. I'll be right back.
Of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
No man is big enough for my arms.
No man in the world. No man in the world.
No man is big enough for my arms.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And I'm staring closer to the mic.
Hello. Does it look good to you?
It's intimidating. It's very
black. Intimidating.
Right. And there's a it has some hoodie
are
on.
You you're going down this road.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode for you. Yes.
I need to defend myself against this mic.
Yes.
It's named Mike.
Are you at least on the spectrum? Because then you can be forgiven.
I don't know that joke. I don't know.
Okay. That's
I don't know that. Is that the Curb Your Enthusiasm? I don't
get it. I love that episode.
I was trying to watch our episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm again a while ago, and
I have to tell you,
yeah,
I'm upset, and let me tell you why, and I need to air it on this goddamn podcast.
Yes.
So, me and Andrew share the HBO Now account.
Oh, good. Am I inflicting your watch ability with me changing the episode count?
And Andrew, no, it don't have anything to do with the episode count. But Andrew, for some reason, I noticed he doesn't watch Vice Principals.
Right.
I've been slacking on that one. I've been meaning to go into it.
Yeah, he doesn't really watch John Oliver, or at least if he does, he watches it after me.
Right.
Yeah, but I usually wake up after you. Like there was one occasion where I woke up early enough, and when I clicked play, it hit in 7 minutes in, so I know you were watching it right then and there.
Nice. But he consistently watches Curb Your Enthusiasm before me, which is fine. I mean, that's what the thing is for, right? Except the HBO Now app is garbage. Straight up.
Trash.
Trash. Right? So what will happen now is because... So, when you finish watching the show, you don't generally stick around for the whole of the end credits, and then sometimes what they do is they have a featurette after it. And what will happen is...
You'll hit play.
I'll hit play, and it will start during the credits. There is no button to restart.
Mm-hmm.
There's no button from before to say play from beginning.
Yeah.
And the rewind and fast forward structure is horrendous. So I have to literally sit down, and you know what you do? Do you remember when we used to have VHS?
Yeah.
Right?
So you're watching it in reverse. So you get to see the episode backwards.
At least I don't have to see the episode. Oh. That is good about it. But you remember how when you used to rewind, you used to press a rewind button and it would go at like 2 times,
right?
And then you press it again and it goes at 6 times.
Right.
That's how you rewind this thing. And so
it's not TV.
It's VHS. Yeah, apparently. And you have to literally sit down for maybe a minute waiting for it just to get to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, that's how you want to watch on demand TV.
Which,
you start the demand
nice
and then wait
me.
A minute.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, Andrew, you haven't been watching Vice Principals. What's up? Come on.
I'm going to get back to it. I hear it just ended. Yeah,
the season is over. So I'm going to now finish.
So I can just streamline like the 6 or 7 episodes I've missed.
And they clearly know what they're doing, because right after, I don't know why I stuck out until the end of the credits, but right after there's an ad for Kenny Powers to say, if you like that,
yeah, watch if you like Kenny Powers, then you like Kenny Powers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do not like Kenny Powers.
You didn't like Kenny Powers? I didn't like it at first either, but I remember something like season 4, I saw Andrew watching it and kind of like the IT crowd.
Oh, so it's like Alias.
I liked it. Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. 400 hours in.
Yep.
It's okay.
Kenny Powers is awesome. But anyways, this week, we're going to be talking about a film. A flim.
You say we. That's a lot of confidence.
And you say film.
Right. Which is also.
That's also a lot of confidence.
I mean, a film.
That shows a lack of judgment on your
A film by the name of Lady Macbeth.
My father bought you, along with a piece of land not fit enough for a cow to graze upon. You will remain indoors with your prayer book.
I like the fresh air. I like being outside.
Take it off. Your nightdress, take it off. Face the wall. Face the wall!
Where is my husband gone?
Away.
To do what?
Nothing for you to concern yourself with. You'll be on your own for a while.
This movie is about...
It looks like Damien took notes. He's picking up his phone.
picking up my notes. No, that's not my notes. Oh, they're my notes. Okay, cool. This movie is about a young lady who is wed at the beginning of the movie to her now husband and is brought into this home on the farm. And it becomes quickly evident that her position in life is now pretty much property. And the rest of the movie is you staying with her as she is used, abused, and eventually turns on everyone around her to basically make her life better. Including when she ends up having an affair with one of the workers on the farm.
He's a horse thief.
Don't make me horse land.
This was a movie that came to my attention at this point of the year, I started looking up what everybody was noting as like noteworthy movies of the year. And I'm like, this is one that we've missed. And we always look forward to a time of talking about period films. So why not? Lady Macbeth. And it's strange to me because there's so many things about this movie that are a mixture of everything we hate about movies like this. And at the same time, I'm interested to hear even Damien talk about, because I feel like it has a lot of things that we talk well about with ways that movies twist our expectations. Now, when this movie started up and everything started going and you saw the style, you saw the way that the movie was presenting itself to us, I couldn't help but be remembering a film from a few years back that we also talked about on this podcast. And I don't remember how Damien felt about it. I'm pretty sure Douglas hated this movie. Which was Andrea Arnold's Wuthering Heights. It was a movie.
I fell asleep in that movie.
Yeah, so you hated the movie.
I remember wanting to like it, but I straight up fell asleep and clocked out in most of that.
And that was a movie that I adored.
Oh wait, no, Wuthering Heights. No, I think I'm thinking of something else. That one I stayed awake for. Fuck that movie.
See, I was right. that movie I adored because it found really interesting ways to bring the story along. Sorry. And at the same time, it gave me like this beautiful set of imagery for this story that everyone's heard a billion times, which is always great for me, because there's so many times when we talk about all of these movies being made over and over again that we kind of just get lost in not caring about the story anymore. But the movie did its work in presenting it to me interestingly. And the style of this movie kind of brought back all of those feelings. But at the same time, it's the style where after around 15 to 20 minutes of what this movie was presenting, I'm like, okay, I get it, and let's get moving. But for me, the movie really became something of interest when eventually we get to see Catherine start to, let's say, dole out her revenge in this movie. I don't know if you really want to call it that. But basically, as we see her become more and more empowered throughout the movie, taking more and more grander, more evil steps throughout her days, it became this insane film where you're just watching evil incarnate just take the center of the movie. And there's so many movies out there that we talk about on a weekly basis where we just roll around in how much we love seeing this person being just the evilest person possible. And I think this movie did that well. I think this movie really played it well. Now, at the same time, like, with all said and done, I'm not going to call this my favorite movie or anything, but I feel like this was a solid attempt at doing what this movie did, and it definitely brought forward some interesting imagery and interesting characters in this film. And I will now take a pause and mute my microphone and let you guys have fun with hating this movie.
So, let me tell you something. This movie, there's one big problem with this movie. And the main problem is that it was not directed by a Korean. Right? So, here's the thing.
Do you know that for a fact?
I watched the movie. Yes, I do. I don't know who directed it, but he's not even diaspora, Andro. They're not even third or fourth generation Korean. They are straight up just not Korean.
Did you say North Korean?
You know what? Maybe. I'll give them that. But here's the thing about this movie. This movie started off, actually, I think it started off strong, right? And by started off strong, I mean the 2 minutes before the opening credit, the opening title card. Because this husband did the most assholish thing. I literally had to stop. I had to pause the movie because I was laughing so hard. And it's a horrible thing, but I mean, I loved watching every moment of it because I'm a horrible person. He essentially, after the wedding, it's the wedding night, he says to his wife in not so loving manner, take off your clothes, take off the nightdress. She takes it off. He looks at her for about a half a second, gets into the bed and falls and goes to sleep because clearly she's not selling what he's buying. Right? And she's kind of left there just thinking, oh, that's what this is. Now, for you to hit a high like that and then continue with what the rest of this movie gave me is just already you're in FTM territory, right? But this movie was mediocre at best. And the truth is, for me, it wasn't really very engaging. You know, after a while, there were a couple of moments, a couple of performances that were decent to good. But I think this movie completely missed the point. Or at least for me, based on what I wanted to see out of this movie, it missed the mark on that. I feel like it needed to focus on the shenanigans. Well, shenanigans aren't the best word, but the just shitty things that she would do and the shitty things that everybody would do in this movie. They needed to play that up and to make it feel almost more sinister, because when I was watching this movie, I actually forgot that this was supposed to be some sort of sinister movie. I remember when I was watching it thinking that I read about the movie and about how sinister this woman was. And as I was going through, I was thinking, she's not really treating these people that badly.
Then it came.
Yeah. Closer as the movie got to the end, she started to be, to do some things. But it never felt like an event. It never felt serious. It never felt Korean. And
are you kidding me? The first big moment when the father-in-law is dealt with, just watching her force the helper, Anna, the slave, I guess, Anna, to just sit there and just watching Anna's face reactions to what she can hear going on. Like, that, it was insanely sinister.
Yeah, but Andrew, it could have been sinister if you did the right things. So let's talk about that scene in particular. That scene, unless you are watching it the second or third time, you wouldn't even really realize 100% what was happening at first, right? So there is no implication, or at least I never had any clue that she was doing anything sinister from the get-go. So when he walks into his room, you're like, okay, he's an asshole. He's walking into his room. Fine. And then you hear him kind of shout out for Catherine, and you're like, okay, he wants his daughter-in-law. Who cares? And then you hear a bang, and you're like, oh, something must have happened. Well, I guess she just doesn't care. That's okay. And then you realize, oh, wait, maybe he's dying, and maybe she has something to do with it. At no point are you reveling in the fact that she is a cold, calculating woman who has done something horrible and is now reveling in it and is now bringing in a third party to feel that darkness. And that is what is wrong with this movie, right? Now, what I want to talk about, and I'm not going to talk about the specifics, but the last scene of this movie is a fucking shame. It's a travesty. The last scene of this movie should be, I mean, we talk about movies having a climax, but this could have been the climax to end all fucking climaxes. Or is it climaxes? All right, so because she does something that, and to be honest, I didn't even really think about it until now, because they almost brushed over it, the way that they dealt with this. But she does something, well, that's a bit unfair, but she does something so calculating, well, not so much calculating, because it's almost a spur of the moment thing, but so horrible that you can imagine if you're watching the House of Cards, if you're watching any other movie that, or TV show, or any form of media that gets this type of story, this type of theme correct. This is something that you sit in and you feel it, and you feel the implications of what she's doing, not only for herself, not only in the deception of some of the rest of the characters, but also in the pain and the repercussions on the, let's call them, the aggrieved parties, in that moment, and what they are feeling. And it wasn't until I was thinking now about this movie that I really grasped how terrible it was what she did. Because the way that it's treated in the movie is, it happens, you see that, you know, somebody gets hauled off, and okay, we're done. There is no gravity. And maybe what I'm asking for is heavy-handed filmmaking that is hackneyed and crappy, but I think that's exactly what this movie calls for. And I think that that's exactly what this movie is missing, and that is exactly why this movie is a steaming pile of shit.
Oh, man. Like, the thing about it is that there's... you keep using the term colon calculated, and I don't fully see this character as calculated. One of the things that I started thinking about as this movie was going along was whether I think that Catherine was evil or whether she was merely logically responding to her situation, wherein she starts out at the beginning being probably a loving bride who is... we don't really see her as before the wedding. Literally, the opening shot of the movie is over her shoulder at the wedding, and that's literally all you see of the wedding, right? And you understand that she's been married. And then, like, how you talk about that dickish opening scene with the husband where he tells her, take off your nightgown, that's her opening to her new life. And everything that happened in that section of the movie made me realize that the way this family took the marriage was the equivalent of buying an extra finishing piece for a dining set in their home. It was something that they felt they needed because every man needs a wife who to bear him a child, sort of thing. So, you know what? Screw it. Get him a wife. And she, having come into this situation, probably not knowing how awful these people are, her response is, well, I'm going to make my life livable, and turns to all of these things. You definitely don't see her scheming for that first murder, right? The rest of them, it becomes very obvious that while she probably would have gotten around to it at some point, she definitely didn't premeditate all of the methods in which she would have ended the people's lives that she did. And even in the final moment where she has to defend herself from accusations, it's never a thing where she calculates it. You see her sitting down figuring out the plan of how she will become the lord of this manor and never have to deal with any of these assholes again. But at the same time, every time you see these actions take place, what you recognize, what I recognize at least, was the coldness, not the calculations, but the coldness, and the steel with which she was able to do all of these horrible actions that we see. And I don't know if it's the way that the actress plays it off, but there's so many moments where watching her play into these evil moments becomes revelrous, is that the word? becomes just glorious for me to watch, right? I talk about the father-in-law and the scene where she's holding Anna beside her at the dining table, kind of playing with her, telling her, no, I don't like to eat alone. And you can see Anna just going into fright. And you see it happen again later in the film with that same face of Anna as she's been wrapped up into all of these plots, murder plots, and all of these cold, evil actions. And like, I just think the movie does great with them, and I don't see what you're saying, Douglas, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, this movie sucks.
Damien, what say you? How far on the scale are you? Are you with Douglas over there, or are you at least some steps towards me?
Andrew, how does this movie end?
With a lady on a couch. Okay.
Is the police involved?
No, not really.
There's confessions.
Stop, Damien.
Sola.
Damien.
Hi.
We need to stop talking about Usher songs.
All right. Right.
Yeah.
Andrew,
when this movie starts, you say to yourself, oh, this family is the goddamn worst. And then as the movie progresses, you go, this family's bad. I can't wait to see what happens to all of these people. And then the movie ends, and things happen, but not the right things. No, Douglas pointed out what could have been done to fix the movie. You get
how many Lars. Movies have to be Korean or Lars?
To be fair, yes, Lars could have done this.
You get Lars.
Yes.
Or you get someone of Korean heritage. No. Andrew, this movie is, it's not great. Okay? And while part of me doesn't want to put up the neon signs FT and M, it is easier to do that than to defend your position. Because her performance is all right, because she's stoic for more. Whenever she isn't being physically assaulted or in the throes of passion.
No?
I know English.
What's that language?
Her face is the same face. And the only time it works is at the very end, where her reaction to what's happening is like, yeah, of course. Here's what I'll tell you, Andrew. Sofia Coppola's movie is better than this one.
Wow.
Right?
Because hold on. I would agree with that.
Right. Because
and I hate that movie. Yeah,
because there's something there where at some point you go, all right, movie. Like, at some point the movie is just like, I can see where this becomes great. This movie has that moment close to the beginning where it's like, boy, these people really do suck. Can't wait to see what she does to all these people. Here's my major complaint, Andrew. There's people alive at the end of this movie that is more than just her. Right? Is that a spoiler? I guess, but who cares? People are living at the end of this. No one should be alive. Or the people that are alive should be in such fear that they might as well be dead. That is what I wanted to happen. But that is not what happened. And it's just disappointing. Like, to see the what this movie should have been, but to watch it not be that, it was just disappointing. I expected more out of this movie. I didn't watch any of the trailers, so I wasn't sure what this movie was going to be. It said Lady Macbeth, and I was just happy that it wasn't the actual Macbeth story, but replaced with a woman. That would have been infuriating. So I'll give it props for not doing that, and I can understand why they call it Lady Macbeth, even though there's a better name that you could have gone with.
What's the better name you could have gone with?
Murderous Wife. I don't know. It's not my job to be creative. I run numbers. Leave me alone.
I thought you, since you said that you already had one in mind that you've been working on, workshopping for the last 4 days, just like
Till Death Do Us Part. It's a better name. A shitty name. Like, it should have ended with her and the child that doesn't belong to her. And the child just crying and she just laughing. And then there's like roll credits. Like, there's no, when she was getting her revenge, it didn't fill me with joy, basically. Right?
Well, and it almost didn't even feel like revenge, Damian. It just felt like a thing that she was doing.
If someone told me M. Night Shyamalan did this movie, I'd have gone, yeah, it feels like it.
This movie is, it's,
say it, started at M and ends with idiocre.
Oh, I was going to say amateurish. But it's sad how unfulfilled the potential of this film is.
Feels like time wasted.
Yes.
I wanted it to be better.
Wow.
It, like, Andrew, you know how much we enjoy revenge. Like, we find even in movies that clearly do not sell themselves as revenging, that is what we're looking
for. And the thing about this movie is, you know, it didn't feel to me like a revenge film. Why? Because there was nothing to avenge, right? Yes, he was an asshole to her that one night, but that was it. And okay, his father-in-law is not nice, and they're both not nice people, but there's not something, so in any good revenge film, you have a focus, right? And it's not necessarily one thing.
Progressively worse.
Exactly, right?
Not less, like, the first.
But guess what? I didn't need
like
it to be a revenge film, you know? This could have been what it kind of is now, which is just, I'll not use the word bored, but I'm unhappy. And I'm going to take that out on people, and I'm going to become this cold, horrible person that doesn't care about anybody and just gets what I want. And if that means I have to murder you, well, all right. Yeah. So I was fine with that. But it just didn't give that, it didn't give that concept or that theme or that emotion, that drive, the sort of reverence that it deserved. And the sort of focus that it deserved. It more kind of observed what happened if you were standing in the corner and, you know, trying to figure things out. It wasn't cinematic any at all, right? It wasn't there. I mean, things just happen. And I keep going back to the lunch scene because maybe I'm just stupid, right? But Damien, did you know what was going on in that scene?
I mean, I figured it out.
Yeah, but you had to figure it out, right? And even afterwards, I remember thinking.
But doesn't that scene play better when it's like every second it's something new you're figuring out?
No, because then you don't know that she's a horrible person, and that's the point.
No,
of
but
this
you
film.
Learn that through that scene that she's a horrible person. You start out at the beginning of scene thinking that she's just going to be toe-the-line wife who's like, this is a horrible situation, but I guess this is what I'm going to have to do. And then as the scene progresses, that changes for you. You watch on and you see that she's acting in her own evil-ass way, which I think is a better way to do it, right? I'm not saying all of the crazy revenge movies that we love don't do this well by having us understand that, oh, she now knows the mushroom to use or whatever. But this is a viable, great way to play a scene.
It would be if she continued to double down on that. Like, if for the rest of the movie you saw, you're like, all right, she clearly is going down this road. If she continued to go down the road, and you're just like, all right, let's see you take this to its next, like, just escalate this. Just like, all right, I'm doing this and everybody's in my sights. But that is not what happened.
Yeah, that's not what happened any at all.
I mean, in fact, that lunch scene feels out of character. Based on all the rest of our actions for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel earned. It feels like, we put this in, but...
The difference is that for the lunch scene, unlike all the other instances, there was more time that occurred. Because the thing that happened at that point is that she wasn't... And it's something that I noticed is that she wasn't actually taking revenge for her own status. But what she was doing was she was defending her little romantic flim with the horse thief, as you guys put it. Because he's the one who got chained up and beaten by the father-in-law. Just like when her husband comes back. It's not until she realizes she has to expose the relationship with her horse thief that things go bad. I'm pretty sure if the husband came back and she was just lying in bed, she probably wouldn't have done anything. Like, that is what she's protecting. She's not doing all of these evil actions just for her to be the lady of the house and keep power. It's for her to keep the relationship. She literally, if all of the people that she murdered looked at her and said, I don't care if you bang that dude, just stay. I don't think she would have done anything.
Keep it off of Twitter.
And how does that make this movie any more, or how does it make it any more entertaining? Because it doesn't. And that's a point of a film, to be entertaining, right? Or to be engaging in some way, shape, or form. And this one wasn't. You watch this movie and you just get fucking frustrated with it. And you said to yourself, all right, when is it going to end?
I guess this gets to be one film for the first time in a long time where we all get to disagree. You all get to say I'm wrong.
No, I'm not in disagreement with Douglas.
No, you two are one person, really.
Oh, like, fair enough.
You, yeah, right. you know move really fast.
I like drizzle.
That's exactly what this movie
There's
is.
Actually one of you, and you're moving really fast.
Back and forth, really quickly.
No one can prove me wrong.
That's for certain. We've never been seen together, anyway.
No one here has seen Damien.
Yep.
They've only seen Douglas.
Yep. That's good enough.
Yep.
When Damien was asked to present himself, he refused.
Yeah, some which makes foolishness even about more suspicious. Work. Yeah. Sure, you have work. I'm on to you, sons of bitches.
Oh well, that's disappointing. I actually watching this movie, I was like, I wonder, could this be? I think Damien might like this. This is sad.
I thought I was going to, and then the movie.
Me too. And actually. Yeah, and I said this to you, Andrew. I had this movie in my queue. I wanted to watch it. Not good. But I agree with your assessment. That movie was disappointing.
All right, Douglas Damien. You single mind, single.
Both their names start with a D.
Theories abound.
Yeah, they refer to themselves as hi and welcome. Starting to sound pretty iffy.
Moving right along. I wanted to talk about a movie. Saw recently by the name of A Silent Voice, which is a Japanese anime film that was recently released, and I kind of love it. It's about a young boy named Ishida who teases and bullies a young girl who is a new student to his class. When they're in grade school, she's deaf, and he does all sorts of horrible fucking crazy things to her. But at the same time, you kind of watching the movie, as horrible as they are, you watch it going like, yeah, children are dicks, right? Like, we know that about children, right, Damien?
Yeah, no, I'm that child.
Yeah. But they're still horrible. And eventually it pushes the young girl away as she has to go off to another school because her mother fears for her being bullied and such. And that becomes a catalyst for everyone pretty much ostracizing this child. And basically, everything he's had is gone. All his friends are gone, blah, blah, blah. But it does this interesting thing where it jumps us forward a few years to him being in high school and growing older and becoming a recluse and trying to think on that time in his life when he did all of those things to that young girl. And it becomes this film about him reaching out to try and make amends. And it was a very interesting and like heartwarming movie because it made me think a lot about what's been going on with the news these days with all of the
news.
Your favorite thing, Damien. Isn't that your favorite thing, the news?
Yes.
So which news are we talking about?
It's only second to sports, right? Or does sports win?
Sports. Andrew, you know the answer. Sports. Always.
Sports beats the news. I don't even know what news you're talking about right now.
But I'm talking about like the general news that's been going on.
Is this the Moulin Rouge news?
What?
The Moulin Rouge news.
Well, what's the Moulin Rouge news?
Well,
Jeff Sessions says he only speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's Moulin Rouge.
No, I'm talking about, like, all the sexual harassment news.
Okay.
Including the names of Bill Cosby, Louis C.K., all of the names that have been talked, and Kevin Spacey, all the names that have been talked about in the last few months. And the way how every single one of these things are followed by the accused parties talking about their regrets and how they want to be better and how we're just kind of sitting here and we're like, I don't know, dude, like, just don't talk to us anymore. And you hope for bad things to happen in some sense or for some sort of amends to occur. But the issue is that we're here now, right? We're not 15 years in the future where you can say, oh, I guess Louis C.K. did turn it around and he's not a dick anymore or anything. but we're here now. But this movie actually takes us to that time forward where we get to see the guy actually change, like, sincerely. Like,
he travels in the future?
Yeah. Time traveling.
Yeah, you know, like movies where you start in one time period and then you edit and you have a cut and suddenly you're years forward.
We watched this movie already. I like this one with the girl who steals the guy's time travel device. It's great.
Nope, not that one. A different one.
It's a COMMO to the end. Time traveling.
This is why I like doing this podcast. I feel like a well respected. But I really like this movie and it was a really interesting movie that made me think about all of these things going on now, and I think it's a worthwhile movie of the year gone by.
Yeah, actually, I saw your post on Instagram. Instagram, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
On Letterboxd,
mm-hmm.
when you
on Facebook,
when you
on MySpace,
and actually, I saw the review and I was like, I kind of want to try it, see if I might like this one. It looked interesting. It piqued my interest.
Guys, I have bad news. I saw the polar opposite of the movie that Andrew watched.
You mean polar opposite as in like goodness or
no, I just mean in terms of tone and what and everything.
You've watched this movie?
No. I have this movie to watch because I fell down and landed in an anime hole. It was...
Yes, please don't say that because somebody might ask for Annie and
how
she's doing. We don't want that.
I mean...
We don't want the podcast.
Okay? Say no, so okay, I don't know. I'm fine.
That's what Louis C.K. said.
Okay? That is... And I agree with that, man.
So hold on, what movie are we talking about?
It's not a movie. I started watching Hero Academy. It's a Japanese anime thing.
I've heard of this movie, this TV show.
Is this My Hero Academia?
Yeah, My Hero. I'm very sorry. My Hero Academia or whatever it is, where it is a world where everyone has superpowers, and so the schooling system had to change. You had to have schools devoted to training young people in how to be heroes, because of course some people are going to use their powers to do bad things, but everyone doesn't have like grand powers. Some people's powers are really shitty, and this boy was born and he had no powers, but he studied everybody and wanted to be a great hero.
Did he then execute a coup against his brother who can't
no
speak?
Brothers no? No,
okay.
So
maybe
like
it's a good show then.
Like with all Japanese everything, it is about how children are shitty to other children and how you recover from children teasing you. And if any of that is true, in about 10 years I'm going to have a very bad time of this.
People are going to be coming out of the woodwork.
I was a dick to, let's say, 98% of the people that I met. Just in general, not only in school, but everywhere. Because I, and not only then, but now, don't care. And what is about to happen is I'm going to continue not caring. And someone is going to come up to me and say, you were mean to me 20 years ago or whatever. And I'm going to look at that person and go, I have no idea who you are. And then I'm going to read about them on the news, which is what I don't want. So if any of you are listening to this and in the future plan to come and tell me that you've overcome some mean shit that I said to you, don't do that because I continue to not care. It is...
Harsh words, sir.
It's a cartoon about superpowers. And a boy learning to use a superpower. So there's just superpower shit happening all the time.
You sure he and can't explode and just doesn't know it yet because he hasn't done it?
So that is basically what this is. Except every time he uses... He gets powers, obviously.
Okay.
Every time he uses his power, because he can't control it, it breaks whatever part of his body. So if he tries to jump really high, his legs break. Because he can't filter the power. It's 100 or 0.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he punches something really hard, then his arms break. And so what he's been doing is like focusing the power to like the tip of his finger. So he's like breaking one finger at a time. And
I feel like you're about to start describing a porn, like a hentai.
No, it's just a regular guy. And it got me for a day. Yeah. I watched like a season and a half, mm-hmm. and then went home. Didn't do any work that day. Just went to work watching this stupid. People are like walking past, like, Damon. I just couldn't help myself. When I went home, I went to sleep, and it is the House of Cards thing that he told me not to do. Like, the second I went to sleep, I then woke up back. I'm like, Damon, what the fuck are you doing? But for that one day, it's pretty good. It was pretty good.
Listen,
I've actually watched that show.
I enjoyed it.
Theory works with a lot of stuff.
I really, really was enraptured by this stupid TV show.
And Andrew, the way Andrew said that he's watched this show, sounds like he also
enjoys it. Into
like I agree with you, Damon. Yeah. That show is bad. But I, like you, watched it in a lot, you know, quick binge format, and I enjoyed
it. It was
quick
pretty binge. Good. Is it good? I don't know anymore. And I doubt I'll ever see it again. But
what inspired this, Damon, is my question.
I was going through, like, there's websites that I visit, and they have lists of things. And sometimes it's books, and sometimes it's movies or whatnot. And someone put this in a list, and I went, oh, I've never heard of that, because of course I haven't heard of it. And they put the movie that you were talking about on the list as well. But I saw the trailer for that movie and went, nah. And saw the trailer for this TV show and go, why not?
The one thing I found hilarious when I started watching that show was the economy of superheroes part, right? So, like, everyone is a superhero and they have to somehow incentivize people to be superheroes.
Right.
Through the economy.
Yeah.
And, like, I just found it hilarious to think of it that way. To be like, I guess you should, right?
Right. The most famous superheroes make the most money. And also, like, it's popcorn. Like, you know it's bad for you, obviously. Because there's too much butter. But while you're eating it. And then when you're done, you're like, oh, god damn it. Why I eat so much popcorn? Right, that's basically what. But it feels good going down.
You had a good day.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
I mean, I had a bad day because I had extra work to do the following days. I spent an entire work day staring at cartoons. Should a man in a suit be watching cartoons? I'm pretty sure the answer to that is no.
Then stop wearing a suit.
Unless, I mean, Big Mouth, you can't watch that at work because you'd be dying. People would know there's something up.
Rick and Morty?
No, I'll do that at home where it's safe. Can't be watching that at work. People think less of me.
And they don't already do?
They know that I'm the worst. People continue to come to the realization that it is not a put-on. I'm not acting this way. I am this person all the time. Like, because when you start out, you have to be nice to everybody because you don't know these people.
And now that enough time has passed, they're slowly realizing that, oh no, you're really just an awful person.
So Douglas,
yeah.
is it hard to do two jobs at once?
Let's just say that we make sure that we are aligned on most points.
Yeah. He goes to work in the day, and then I go to work in the night. Mm-hmm. That's why we never... Yeah. Why do you think I worked in the nights all those years?
Yeah. Huh? It's gotten a little bit trickier now that, you know, I mean, he works in the day, but...
No, but Andrew isn't here to verify that. He doesn't know. It's easier to trick him. We just pretend.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Have you ever heard of my company? No. Have I ever heard of your company? No. You can have a search for them on Google. They're not real companies. You're the only one that works at a company anyone has ever heard of. Digicel. You know Digicel.
Boy. But yes, I have some shows to talk about. Yes. Actually, I want to talk about a couple of things, and both are somewhat Netflix related. So... I went down a hole this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. That hole was an Australian hole.
Not the same one your other self went down.
No, not the same one.
Was Annie's hole.
So Netflix apparently has given some money to Australia, mm-hmm. and said, give us your television shows. One of these shows is called Wanted.
Boo.
Curving bullets.
Boo.
That's exactly what David was just asking a while ago. But visually, yes. No, there are no curved bullets in this one. There are bullets.
Of course, it's called Wanted.
It's these two Australian ladies who become wanted.
Bonnie and Clyde?
Except Bonnie, Clyde isn't a lady, but sure.
Are you sure? I've been watching that movie wrong.
Yeah, I think so. So essentially...
Thelma and Lewis?
So essentially, these two ladies are standing up at a bus stop, just randomly, and there's some sort of drug deal gone wrong, and they become embroiled in it, and they get kidnapped, and there are two seasons, which are essentially them running away from the police, the drug dealers, the evil people, and... While it may not actually be a good show, I really like it.
It's easy to watch.
It is easy to watch. But no, I do think it's a good show. It's pretty cool. It's a Netflix show.
Sounds all right.
They have two seasons already. I do think the third one might be coming out soon, so I'm crossing my fingers. And because it's Netflix, I might not even... I might not even try and find out how I can watch it week to week, because it's only 6 episodes every season. I can wait a month and a half.
Can you?
I think I can.
Okay.
I hope I can. So I really like that show. I so much so that I think I finished the first season on Saturday, and I had only 2 episodes left by the end of Sunday. And I just finished watching the last episode last night, I think. The show is great. But yeah, another thing that was interesting, and I wonder what you guys think about it. And as I said, it's quasi-Netflix related. On a tangent, Punisher is coming up this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. But... along that line of Marvel stuff, so Disney is doing their own Netflix. They've essentially said, we're going to fuck Netflix. We're pulling Star Wars.
Yeah, we're pulling all the Disney Marvel shit. Yeah.
We're pulling everything, and we're going to put it on our system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means for the original stuff. I would be fine if they pull that and put it on there as well. And they're going to charge less than Netflix, apparently.
Yeah, because they're Disney.
Yeah.
So it just means you have one more service to get.
Absolutely. And I will get that right as soon as it happens. Yeah. Can you imagine? First of all, I'm hoping beyond hope. And I know this is beyond hope. This is just sword outlandish. Because what?
Sword of Woman. Give you hope beyond hope.
Did you hear that Disney was trying to buy Fox?
Yeah. Because they want the final piece of the puzzle. They want the X-Men.
Yes.
They're only trying to buy certain parts of Fox, not the entirety of Fox. They want X-Men.
They're not. They're buying Hugh Jackman
and Fantastic Four.
No, listen. They want X-Men. They want every single superhero franchise all under one boat. So they want. In fact, they're at some point. I'm sure they're going to look at DC and go, all right, listen.
Yeah.
This is how we're doing this. We are going to take this off of your hands once and for all.
Can you imagine what the internet will look like when that day comes?
The same way it looked when they bought Star Wars. Where everyone's like, fucking Disney, what the... Right, that
people
is...
People weren't upset about that.
People were very upset about that. People were... Because there's people who don't like Disney because they don't understand how anything works. It's a giant company. They're all big companies. Yeah. Where are people still so loyal to brands? Except Samsung. Fuck Samsung.
Thank you, sir.
The rules are the rules, after all.
But this service looks like it's going to be pretty
good. Douglas is just going to cost us more money.
It is.
Because the Netflix only shows.
But okay.
I prefer more. My favorite shows on Netflix aren't the ones with the superheroes in them. I give a shit about the superhero shows on Netflix.
Say that? Yeah, they got
Daredevil right the first season.
Yeah, they did.
And everything else has been worse. Yeah, none of their things is as good as the first. Yeah. Their last thing where everyone mashed up was the worst. Right? The Defenders is garbage.
It's better than Arrow, all right? And there's something about these superhero things that I kind of sit down and watch and not think, and it's great. But I agree with you. There are a lot of stuff that they have, whether it is that they've thrown money at the BBC or somebody like that, or they actually developed it themselves, that is really
House of Cards.
Right? Which doesn't exist anymore.
Right. But, if they got that, they did this new Mindhunter thing.
Yeah, I like that.
They have a lot of TV shows.
Stranger Things.
Right. A lot of TV shows that like
I
more...
love Lovesick. They have a lot of good shows, right? Outside of...
Their movies are trash. That is where Disney will win.
Garbage.
Except when it comes to Disney movies and movies in general, mm-hmm. I don't tend to watch movies on these services. Movies that I like, I buy and put on my box. Well,
you know what happened? I will watch shitty movies on services if I've decided that I really like this movie and even if it's shitty, but especially if I feel like there's some value to it, you know, then I'll definitely buy it.
And so all this means is that I'm going to have to spend more money.
That a lot of people are having now as it relates to a lot of these services, even though it's interesting how we somehow got to this away from whatever TV show Douglas was talking about, from all of these services, is that as it becomes more and more popular to be on these streaming services, people will stop printing physical media.
Yeah, that
it'll just that be you have sad. To subscribe to the service to actually get to that media.
That is my dystopia.
Like, look at all of the Netflix shows. How many of them can you buy?
All of them.
Every single one.
Yeah, every single one.
Every single one of them.
But it took them how long to publish them?
Not
like,
very
I think
long.
Yeah, but I think it wasn't until like two seasons in that House of Cards was.
No, House of Cards was on DVD the second. Because especially for House of Cards was a special thing where actually technically until maybe the second or third or maybe the third or fourth season, it wasn't actually Netflix's. It was a partnership thing.
I understand that concern, but for the next 5-10 years. Streaming still won't do what a physical disc will do.
No, but it never will because it won't. Eventually it will do what current disc do now, but then by that time there'll be 100k whatever it is.
Douglas,
you know,
think about Andrew's internet.
Yeah. There will always be a gap though. Because there'll always be
Andrew can
denser
stream.
There'll always be denser storage capacity.
But what I'm saying is Andrew can stream a physical Blu-ray. He can stream all of the data because his pipeline is big enough. Right? So he could get Blu-ray quality, download, and watch it in real time because his internet is fast enough. I can do that.
Yeah, but
most of the world can't. And so as long as that is the case, then we're fine.
And the thing about
one day, most of the world will.
Potentially, but you'll always have... Here's the problem,
right? The 8K is coming.
No, but not even just 8K. Let's talk about a fella that goes by the name of Jim Jeffries.
Right.
Right? So he talks about the fact that, for instance, he drives real good. And he drives real good when he drives real fast.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do it because the good have to suffer for the bad. Right. Essentially, that's what streaming always will be, right?
No, I know.
The people with the pipe will always suffer because not everybody has a pipe. Not everybody has the proper television or the proper... Right. And so...
Disc will always be the good.
Exactly. Yeah. Right?
No, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say for 10 years, we're fine.
But even after 10 years, there will always be a gap between what is... Yes. Unless they actually just say, you know, fuck off with physical.
At some point, enough people will be on the good side that they just go, you know what, people on the bad side, I suggest you get better internet. But I know, like, for movies that are shown in the theater, I'm sure those are safe. Because people will always like
how's that safe?
A physical copy of the thing you saw in the theater. Because you can sell that for more. You can sell one of that for more money.
Oh, you mean movies? Movies, like proper movies.
Proper movies.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you were saying that it's safe that we can still go to the movies. And that's not safe for me. Because I have to go to Carib.
No, I don't have... We don't have a theater out here. Yeah. So we're already boned. We're the bad suffering for the good. But at some point, what you say might happen. Or they'll just enjoy money so much. They're like, oh, you could pay us for this service and watch it month to month. But because you're a crazy person, we can print these ones and zeros on a disc and give it to you.
Yep.
And you'll give us 3 months worth of the service. All right, dog.
Yeah. And the it thing costs that upsets us nothing me about to, all of to these generate services these discs. Is that, so I would almost say, you know what? Let me consider doing streaming only if I could get what I want from streaming, right? But no matter what service I have, whether it's HBO, Netflix, Hulu, whatever, at some point they could lose the one movie that I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And then what am I going to do, right? So that's why I always have to worry about physical. But that's actually kind of what I worry about Disney and what I hope for Disney, because Disney has always done this horseshit.
The vault.
With the vault. Mm-hmm. Yes. And now, what this will allow them to do is to open the vault wide. But I feel like what they'll do is they'll have a rotating vault where they say, okay, you guys get 10 out of the 100 movies that we know you want. Maybe we'll give you another one next month. But if we do, we'll take one back. And that sucks.
So you're concerned about them doing what Nintendo is doing with the Switch?
I don't own a Switch.
Except Disney understands what the internet is, and Nintendo continues to not do that.
Yeah, what's Nintendo doing? What's Nintendo doing actually? I don't know.
They're bad at the internet.
So Nintendo, on the last couple consoles, had been doing this thing with virtualizing all of their old games from the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo and some 64 games and such, and people were able to pretty much like pay $1. Or some nominal fee, and they'd get each one, any game they wanted, and it would run in this virtual console. And apparently with the release of the Switch, they disbanded the virtual console and have created a subscription service that you pay to use online games and all sorts of stuff. But also, you get all of these older games that you can play. But apparently, unless this has changed since I had heard this a few months back when the Switch was just released, the game would come into play that month, and then at the end of the month, that game would no longer be available to you. Like, oh, not great. Even like PlayStation Plus, where like you pick up the game and then it's yours until you stop paying for the subscription service. But it just stops being available to everyone at the end of that month, being like, no, you can't play it even if you picked it up.
That's fantastic. So essentially, mm-hmm. what they've done is they looked at Hulu and Netflix and said, you know what, I'll do the opposite.
Again, they're bad.
It's great.
Nintendo is really bad at the internet.
They looked at what worked for those guys, what has made them the superpowers that they are, and said, you know what, not that.
You don't understand. Yeah. Nintendo has Mario and Pokemon, so everybody can go fuck
and Zelda. Right. And Zelda. Don't forget and Zelda.
Right? So you know what you all can do? Fuck off.
A Pikachu.
Yeah. Here's what you guys can do. Go play Pokemon on something else. Oh, what's that you can't? Then shut the fuck up. Yeah, that is their tact.
Anyways, Douglas, were you talking about an actual show before
he was not. No. My follow-on was the streaming service. Yeah. I wanted to talk about that and about the implications about the vault and to just get into random chat about the landscape of this whole streaming
This
thing.
Is the thing that we wanted, though. We didn't want to pay $10,000 for 900 channels, of which we watch 4.
Mm-hmm.
What we wanted is to break that up or throw that away and then pay $20 for the actual things we want to watch.
Yeah.
Now, it will mean that the Tempo Music Station and all the shitty Christian stations might have to come off the air, but that's an air that no one actually has anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once people finally gave up on the, oh, sports has to be seen live, and how do you stream live things over the internet? That is important. Once that was done, Amazon is showing Thursday Night Football on Prime.
Yeah.
Just as, like, you don't have to pay extra for that. They're just like, yeah, take it. Like, once Amazon got on board, you're just like, well, this dream is, just put everything on the internet, because everything is already on the internet.
Yeah.
Just give it to me. The ones that I want. I don't want to pay for shit I don't watch. Just give me the channels that I want. Mm-hmm. I'll pay the money. Mm-hmm. Now, it's easy for us to say that because we can afford to say that. But there's people who make less money than us that it's going to be terrible for, because they'll have to pick one service. And hopefully this leads to the same flame wars that happened when you had to pick one console or you had to live with one brand, where people are just like, fuck Netflix, just tattooed across them chest, Disney for life. That's what I hope.
I think that it might, but the one thing about...
That's what I want.
The one thing about streaming the single wars. Service that works in their favor as opposed to the single console is, when you buy a console, that's it. You're done, right? You can decide, you know what, hear what. Especially because everything is on demand.
Mm-hmm.
This month is Netflix month.
And then
next month is Hulu month.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, but I want shitty Flame Wars. Right? That is what I... I remember one day Andrew was talking to me about how he's like, oh, the Flame Wars game, like, none of it matters anymore. I had to calmly explain to him, because you're an adult. No, you can afford all of it. You don't have to have... None of it matters. You can buy anything that you want.
Also, he thinks he's out of the Flame Wars, right? Let's ask him how he likes Switch.
No. Until it becomes time for him to...
I want one.
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah, I want one too.
It does look like an interesting concept, actually. But no, I don't know.
Until it becomes time for him to buy his next new car. Right? Like, when he's in new car territory. Like, a couple of years from now, he's like, should I buy a Tesla or should I buy this car?
Mm-hmm.
And then have make his decision and have someone else buy the other car. Say, like me, buy the other car out of spite.
Yeah.
And like it more than his car. It's like,
yeah,
you fuck Tesla. Right? Because he's like, I can't spend.
But isn't that what we do today with phones?
No, we do it. Me and Douglas do it because we're dicks.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't because we legitimately hate Samsung. We're just being ass. If I wanted, I could buy all the new phones that come out. It doesn't make any sense.
I do legitimately hate Samsung.
Yeah, but we hate them mostly because we're dicks.
Yeah.
It is holdover 8 from when they were bad. Yep. They've been good for easily 2 years, and we're just being... Like, we still hate Apple. Because their software is shitty.
Yeah.
Not because of their actual hardware.
I don't know your experience with it, but I know I hate Apple, not because...
Your software is bad.
Not because of anything like that, but... Mm. Well, it is, but... So, I hate Apple as much as I do, right? Because I got burned.
Yeah.
I bought into the... I owned that iPhone. I had the first iPhone, and I tried hard to love it. When I had to unlock the bootloader and crack the phone and put on 20 separate programs so that I could copy and paste only from two or three specific apps. It was great. And yes, I know that they've gotten better since then. And to be quite honest, yes, the iPhone 10 looks quite pretty.
Yeah.
But guess what?
That software still sucks.
It doesn't have a file system. Yeah. And it doesn't have extendable storage.
Or a headphone jack.
Or a headphone jack. So it can go fuck itself.
Put a headphone. It's not like we've aged out of it. It sucks. It's Andrew, on a lot of the forums I go for headphones, there's people who are Sennheiser diehards, and if it is not made by them, then everyone can go fuck themselves, right?
I understand those people. Right. They sound reasonable.
Do you know what I've done to mitigate that? I've bought all the other headphones that the Sennheisers compete with.
But I have a Sennheiser.
Yeah, I have a Sennheiser. I have AKG. I'm going.
My last one was an AKG.
I have three pairs of Sennheisers.
I'm going to buy the Hi-Fi Man's come this Christmas. Like, I just buy my way out of it. Okay. Yeah, I guess the Sennheiser sounds better with this, but it's in that room far away. I'm not going over there for it. So I'm going to listen to these here. Right? I bought V-Motors. I bought, same thing with, graphics cards and processors and whatnot. I can't hate AMD over Intel because
I currently hate AMD.
Because you got burned hard. And because you got burned, I went, because I was
did
planning
he get
to buy
burned
AMD,
or did he
and
do
I'm
the
not
burning?
Going to.
No, Andrew, I'm sure there is a technical reason and logical for reason for what happened, you know. But listen, it's not supposed to be that difficult, right? A motherboard that
shouldn't
says it works
fire.
With a processor. Yeah. Shouldn't not work with the processor it says it works with. Right? Very simple.
I shouldn't
have to buy a some RAM and check to see if it works specifically with that processor.
Again, Douglas, how many goats do you have? And how many are you willing to sacrifice to get this computer ready?
Andrew, I didn't really do a lot of research on my next Intel PC. Mm-hmm. I just looked, is it expensive?
Yeah.
It said yes,
and
I said
all of
I
that
bought
shit.
It. Yeah. And it worked as soon as I put
it's
it together.
It's easier when you can do that.
Yeah.
I hate Samsung. I have Samsung SSDs. I have a Samsung TV. I have a lot of
Samsung
shit.
Do I have
the
Samsung in here? Yeah, I think I do. I
love Sony.
I
love Sony. I have a Sony. I bought Sony phones. I have a Sony receiver. I have a Sony TV. But at the end of the day, the next TV I'm going to buy won't have Sony on it. It will say LG because they made the best TV. I don't have to. It doesn't matter anymore. And when someone makes a better thing than the company that I like, because I'm not begging my parents to buy it for me, I'll just buy it. And it's like I remember Flame. It was fun.
Winter in the south, autumn from a northern mouth, acts like the cruelest month in. When I last was here, happy to return, my dear, talk for a while and let's sit. Ample was the floor, sleeping in the clothes we wore, that night we called it a bed. With no fear of shame, a nest that could accommodate. It's